was watching the church website last night and had seen it before, but I wanted to go over it again. And they were asking people the question, why were you born? And you got an array of answers, and it's just ironic that a lot of people don't think about it. They just attribute their parents, and for the most part, there was nothing that that really resonated with people. I have a friend, a dear friend, and I'm amazed at some of the observations that this dear friend makes. And part of her repertoire is always to notice the sun, the moon, the sky, the stars. At the feast, all the different plants, all the different animals. And it makes us wonder, why don't we take time like our dear friend? When we think about the scripture, when God says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you know him, you understand who he is. And we are called to be humble servants, led by the Holy Spirit, filled with agape love that resonates from God's family. God left us an instruction book so that we can see the examples given of ordinary people living ordinary lives. And they lived and died, and they went through many trials and tribulations in their lives as recorded in the book, in the Bible. And we see some that did very well. We see others that, that's an example of, we don't want to do that. But one thing we can recognize is how fully immersed God is in the outcome of his creation and those he has created. We are called to be potential sons of God. We're going to be a part of his family. There's no limits to his understanding. As the Ancient of Days, he dwells with us in mankind. He looks forward to dwelling with mankind in peace and harmony after Satan is put away. From the day of our conception, of our birth, we live our lives and we make choices. We make lots of choices. But God is keenly aware of what we are doing and the choices we make. As humans, we marvel at what God does, but yet and still we have a tendency to limit what God can do. And we question sometimes, can God really care about what's going on in my everyday life? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We live, we go through life, we die, but he knows what we are doing. And what seems impossible to us is not impossible with God. When we read that he raised Lazarus from the dead, he knows the numbers on our hair, the hairs of our head. And as we read over in Psalms chapter 147, verse 4, I'll go ahead and read that to you. You can just write it down. It says in Psalms 147, verse 4, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord. How is it, or why is it, that we think God can't possibly be concerned with everything that happens in our lives? We're only talking about a few billion people when we're talking about trillions, trillions of stars. And he knows, again, the number of hairs on our heads. Why do we limit God? Does God limit God? Other than not sinning, what is God's limitations? When we think about this plan of salvation that includes all of mankind, all of them, everyone who has existed, to some degree or another, have the opportunity to be a part of his family. And we have this brief history of mankind. And in the last two centuries, I was looking up to see, because if anybody's noticed that oil at Sam's Club right now is under $2 a gallon. Wow! $2 a gallon for gas. Wow. What an amazing thing. But according to the U.S. Department of Energy, the oil that we use today was formed before the dinosaurs over 300 million years ago. You think God has a plan? Do you really? Do you think God puts everything in place? Imagine the number of all the decomposition of the plants and animals and all the cycles that have gone on through the earth that have occurred all up until this time so that we can use this energy. Why do we limit God? Why? As it says, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, a very familiar scripture. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Verse 9, "For as heaven's higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Does it make any sense to limit God when he does things on such a grand scale? In things that are unfathomable to us. And when we read, I was listening to my daughter, my lovely daughter, who's all of 23, and she said, "Oh, I'm getting old." And I said, "Well, yeah, sweetie, you're getting old." What does that make me, you know? When God describes himself in Daniel 7, verse 9, you don't have to turn there. He says, "I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair on his head was pure as wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and the wheels as burning fire." You know, when we think of the Ancient of Days, we understand that God has no beginning and will have no end. So when we see all of what happened in the Bible, all of what's taking place now, how much is God a part of your life? And how big is God when you do things? Because the title of today's message is, "Has God Gotten Your Attention Yet?" And this message is a message of hope and assurance that nothing good is beyond God's greatness. God is firmly in charge. He never questioned. We don't have to question that every outcome, every good outcome, is going to come from God. And we have to stay faithful. We have a choice. We always have choices. As Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, he sets before us life and blessing, life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Turn with me over to James chapter 4 and verse 14. See, an understanding that we have that God's getting our attention, we know that we have but a short time here on earth. And when you read in James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Whereas you know that you shall not be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We shall all die, but we have the opportunity to live again." And you know, it's amazing to us when we fill in the blanks, when God's doesn't do it in our time frame. And we see the example of Abraham and Sarah. "Well, go ahead and take the handmaiden." Boy, what are the results of that? We see the results of that. Or when we decide to go it alone and say, "God, I got this. I'll take care of this." And then we fall flat on our faces and we say, "God, what happened?" Well, were you patient? Were you waiting on me? Did you ask? And then there's times when God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't push a rope. You can't push a rope unless you put starch on the rope. But this, you know, typically you're led by the Holy Spirit. So when we go over to, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4, excuse me, have chapter 9, verse 24. In Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now appear the presence of God for us. Nor yet he should offer himself often as a high priest enter into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now in the end the world hath appeared, and we put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that he took, look for him shall appear in the second time without sin unto salvation." The wonderful salvation, the wonderful sacrifice that Christ gave to us by giving his all, by giving his understanding, by living that perfect life so that he could take on our sins to be a part, so that we can be a part of his family. And you know, when we read over in Colossians chapter 4, let's go over there. In Colossians 4 and verse 1, it talks about redeeming the time. See, when I first went to the Feast of Tabernacles back in 1976 with my dad, at the tender age of 12 years old, I never thought that I would be here today. There was no thought to process to it. It was just dad had this, all this extra money. I didn't know where it came from, but boy, it was fun spending it, you know, and it was, he explained to me, well, this is second tithe, you know, well, that's great, Dad. Can I ride the go-kart some more? You know, that was, you know, up at the Wisconsin Dells. But, you know, when we read over here, let's go over Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have also a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time." Brethren, our conversation needs to be about God. Our understanding needs to be according to God's understanding. There's so many people out there that have knowledge. There's a lot of smart people out there. But without God, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because the wisdom that God gives to us, that deep wisdom. And that's why we have to intensify our love towards God as we see the times getting closer. It's not going to take extra clothes, extra food, whatever you think that's going to save your life. Get rid of it. Because it's going to take God and his blessings, God and his guidance, God and his thought process to bring us to where we need to be. So that's why we have to intensify the love, our love towards God, as to even come close to what he's giving to us. Because again, Christ gave all. He gave all. But it's about redeeming the time. Verse 6. In Colossians 4, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ought you to answer every man." We're in a classroom setting right now. God gives us the opportunity to sit here and talk to one another, to listen to one another, to hear and bump ideas off of one another, so that we can glean the knowledge God has for us, so that we can, when we talk to other people, we understand where their conversations are coming from. And you know, that's why it's so important to attend the fellowship. I can't say it enough. I look forward to being with the brethren so much. Every time you go to Yuma, you see the Goodliffs and the Loves and all the rest of the families that are down there. it's great to see them, you know, and it's good to be here to amongst the brethren. Why? Because this conversation, the conversations that can be held in this room, typically aren't the conversations you're going to have with somebody who's not in the church. Why? Because that's not their concern. What is the concern right now? Christmas. Somehow, some way, I got to get money so I can buy gifts for people who are unthankful. And that's, you can color it any way you want, but it is what it is, you know. Unfortunately, our kids and have to go through this, you know, this time of season. And, you know, I pray hard. We all have to pray hard for our children. They're the ones that, you know, everything Christmas, and they're supposed to just take it. They're supposed to just take it. So that's why we pray for them. You know, we have to understand we're not dead. We're very much alive, and God's very much alive in our lives. And we have to take upon the grace and the mercy and the abundance of God has for us so that we can live a godly life, serve one another, be filled with His agape love, so that we can continue on and show others in the future. When we have death, sickness, loss of job, physical handicaps, all of these conditions take us to a place that we either have to trust God and see the good in the situation, and the outcome will be according to His will, and it's the best purpose. Again, does He have your attention? What does it take? I don't know, we've all had that prayer when we've laid down with tears streaming down, God, I can't take any more. Please, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do so that I can be that servant you would have me to be. When we read over Mark chapter 9, verse 17, we go through trials, but it's that intensity of the trials that takes us to a place where we haven't been before, or we need to refine ourselves to grow even more when we're going through those trials. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, and one of the multitude said, Master, I have brought my son to thee, which has a dumb spirit. Now we're talking about a man who wasn't converted, but he knew that Christ was able to heal his son. Going on in verse 18, it says, and wheresoever we take him, he tears himself and foams and gnashes his teeth and pines away. And I spake to the disciples, they could not cast him out, and they could not. Verse 19, and he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And he brought him unto him, and they saw him, and straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes he cast himself into the fire and into the waters and to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Brethren, we all have that unbelief. And we're growing in His grace and knowledge, and we're growing in that faith so that we can have that belief all the time. But we understand that, you know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going through the fire, they didn't know what the outcome of the trial was going to be. They just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they had to obey God no matter what. So when we read that over in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, you know, you see that they understood that their challenge was, look, we're going to get thrown into the fire. And you know, the king was so upset with them that the men that threw them in the fire were burned, but Christ was in their work walking around with them. And so we see that they didn't hesitate to be about God's will, be about God's business. You know, we have life, brethren. We have life, and the musical sound of children laughing and playing, those are some of the greatest things about life. And sometimes we're lost in our battles so much that we lose sight of what God has deemed good. You know, when you sit down with the elderly to hear how much has changed so much in their lives and in their lifetime, and you realize that, wow, this is, but it comes, okay? You know, as a youth and while you, Youth Opportunities United, you know, it's like, wow, went through that, played basketball, ran track, went to nationals, all that fun stuff. Then you grow up and you have your own family and you go through that. But, you know, when you're so busy trying to make a living rather than living to to live for your family, you have to reverse it because Satan's there to distract us with things in the world that aren't as important as what you would think they are. Spend time, brethren. How important is it to spend time? And even when you're with people, silence can be golden. A reassuring smile, a nod, a wink, just to let someone know that I'm here with you. I love you. I'm part of your life and you're part of my life. It makes a difference. You know, when the pursuit of happiness, do we realize sometimes just chasing the little one across the room is that pursuit rather than the pursuit of money? We have to live life, and whatever hand God deals to us, we have to learn to give thanks and understand that there's nothing that's beyond God, and those trials that we face can and will be put away and we can overcome. The trial's there for us to learn. The trial's there for us to learn. And we have to understand that the majority, the vast majority of this universe is filled with good. We get so burdened down with the negativity of this world that we fail to recognize that this one little blip in the universe has sin on it, but the rest of the universe doesn't. God's will, God's greatness is firmly in control, and it is in our lives if we choose to take care of the things that we can take care of. It's when we focus in on things that we can't have no control over that we look to see things, we see things and it's things seem dire to us. The variable in life is you. The constant in life is God Almighty. His plan, His purpose, His thought process. We can either take the time to focus in on the negative, or we can choose to use our time, our brief time, to focus in on God. Do you know about the plan of salvation? Absolutely. Fantastic. Do you understand the prophetic events are going to occur and eventually will occur? Check. We got that. Is the gospel and the good news being preached to all mankind as a witness? It still is on different levels. Now, how's your relationship with God? How are you coming along with the love that you need towards one another? How is your relationship with mankind? As Mr. Monty Knutson mentioned the other day, when Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemaker, it wasn't just with our brethren. It is with the world that we have to show the fruits of God in everything that we do, all the time. It is us filling ourselves up with God's agape love through understanding His Word, through talking to one another, through going out beyond what we think we're capable of. To visit the poor and the widow and the fatherless, to visit those in prison, to be about God's will. And He said, when did you do that for me? When you've done it for my little ones. Brethren, there's no mistaking what Christ wanted from us. He told us straight out. You know, we have life in Christ, and we understand that there's a full third of the Bible that's towards prophetic events. And it's ironic that we can look to the past, John, Apostle John, to see the future. And when we look at the future, and we see the 24 elders and the, you know, them going around saying, holy, holy, holy. We got about 30 minutes worth of the future and God seeing into the third heaven. How much goes on every day in God's kingdom? I'm looking forward to seeing that. I hope you are too. I know you are. But Jesus Christ came and gave us a perfect example to follow. Christ's godly example of giving, serving, having outgoing concern, and most of all, living to do the Father's will, no matter what, under all circumstances, is what the perfection that Jesus Christ showed to us so that we can do the same thing. When we read over in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. In Luke chapter 21 verse 36 it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. What does that say to you? Then when we read over in Luke chapter 12, turn over to Luke chapter 12 and verse 43. It says, blessed is the servant in whom the Lord, when he comes, he shall find him so doing. So doing what? What are God's true servants supposed to be doing? Loving, caring, encouraging one another, preaching the gospel, understanding prophecy, but not getting hung up on things that we can't control. Again, you can control who? Yourself. Yourself. With the aid of the Holy Spirit leading us, that we come to the greater understanding of how, as a unit, God is bringing us all into his family. Christ's message was a message of hope, good news. Never was there a moment in his earthly existence that was driven by selfish desires or wanting to do his own will. So many now have an ear towards the end is coming so that they have one foot out in the world and they want to go do what they want to do and then they want to, but if the catastrophe comes, I'm going to repent. I'm going to, whoo! I made it just in the nick of time. Or we see deathbed repentance where people have lived lives contrary to God's way of life the whole time, their whole lives, and they want to repent. See, the selfish attitude that we have has its own results. Those who are waiting to see others punished for their sinful behavior. Boy, you know, that guy absolutely deserves something, you know, when God punishes them. Really? Again, life is all about choices. And the choice to obey God, to be led by God's Holy Spirit, so that you see things according to God's way of life. What does it take? Sometimes he uses that frying pan upside your head. Sometimes he uses that belt on your butt. Sometimes he just has to talk to you. But you have to listen. You have to heed what is being said. When we read over in Luke 18, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. It says, I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Brethren, he will find faith with those who are so doing. So doing what? Practicing the same way Jesus Christ lived his 33 and a half years on earth. Doing the things that God wanted him to do. Doing the things that are pleasing unto him. In all aspects of our lives. Now, do we do it perfectly all the time? No. Are we growing in that attitude, in that thought process, in that mind frame? Yes. That's what we're looking for. Because you got to understand, up in the third heaven, that attitude, that way of life is conducted every day, all day. The fruits of God's Holy Spirit, when we read of them, those need to permeate from us each and every day, and every action, every thought that we think. And we have to get away from Satan's influence, away from the negativity, away from those things that would drag us down and not allow us to reach the full potential that Christ has for us, that God has for us. And we see in the scriptures our elder brother giving us that perfect example. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. When we read this, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Chapter 4, verse 21, it says, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So, every thought, every deed, every action, every word spoken, watching and praying, seeing the times and the seasons, understanding them, knowing them, intensifying our love, because we know that to overcome, when we see things that are happening around the world, it's going to take more than what we're humanly capable of to go out of our way to continue to have a God's agape love. This physical body will be destroyed. So what? We understand that we're striving for that spiritual perfection. We want to be a part of the spiritual family. The spiritual universe has always existed, and his inexorable laws have always existed. And God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, just for this brief time, for this brief instance, in this little tidbit of a world, sin has us reign, but not for long. We shall live if we choose life according to God's way for all eternity. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to strive for more understanding. There's so much that we don't even know about the earth, yet let alone the whole universe, and let alone what's going to occur throughout the world, throughout the universe. How exciting is that? How wonderful is that plan? But we have to keep his commandments. And, you know, you think about it when we hear people talking about, oh, you know, the law's been done away with. Really? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, when we think about it, we're just mere clumps of clay that God put together in his image, and we're to be a part of his family. Now, if that's not a wow factor, I don't know what is. Wow, we get to be a part of God's family. So it is extremely important for all of us at all times to understand and know that it's imperative that God has our attention.